I saw Paris, her heart was warm and gay. I heard the laughter of her heart in every street cafe.
The Lonely Margins by Ted Albury, with Christian Rodska and Kim Thompson. And lovers walk beneath
us. Another brandy, Harmon?
No, I'm fine, please.
Feel free to use the hotel air raid shelter, Mr. Carter.
No, it's all right. We'll carry on here.
As you wish, sir.
Oh, and another brandy, dear. Well, let's talk about you, Harmon. Do you know any of the people in Seagull?
Well, that's one of the Paris networks, isn't it?
Yes. We think it's possible that the Germans have penetrated Seagull.
Gestapo or SD?
We're not sure, but the indications are that it's the SD.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Well, we'd like you to look them over and let us know what you think.
You want me to take over Seagull?
No. We don't want you to have any contact with them. Just carry out a surveillance.
How do I report back to you?
We'll give you your own wireless operator.
Experience?
Just finished training. First class.
French or English?
Bilingual, as come.
How old?
23.
Where is he now?
He's a girl. You can interview her as soon as you like.
Is there an alternative?
Possibly. Why?
She's too young.
Wait till you've seen her, Harmer. Then we can talk again. I'd like you to go to Bewley and give a few talks to the SOE trainees. There's a cottage there available for you until the operation. You can interview her there.
And if you want to give yourself away, behave as if you were trained here. So, don't look around to see if you're being followed. And if you are stopped in a check, don't hurry to get your documents out. Have the reason already in your mind as to why you are where you are, but don't give more information than you need. Don't be friendly or try to charm them. They're too used to resentment and obstruction to fall for that, and they'd be all the more suspicious. Right. Any questions?
Who normally carries out the checks?
The Gestapo, the SD, the Fellgendarmerie, and on rare occasions, the Abwehr.
What authority do they have to arrest?
Mainly Lugers, I should think.
Quite right, Miss Fraser, thank you. Well, you've got 10 minutes break now. Report back to the projection theatre and you'll be shown the current newsreels. Tonight, you will have individual interrogations on your training cover stories. Be well prepared, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and there'll be no evening passes tonight.
Oh, no.
Have you spoken to the girl yet?
No, but I'm worried about her.
Why?
Well, she's too pretty. And she's a bit wild. I cancelled her evening passes tonight, and she looked like she could happily kill me. Every night she's off to the West End or Southampton to parties and nightclubs.
Well, so are some of the men.
Yes, I know, but how do I control her in Paris? It won't only be Frenchmen. She'll be attracted to the Germans, and she won't know how to handle them.
Armour, she never breathes a word about what she's doing. We've checked on her over and over again.
Right, well, I'll let you know what I think when I've talked to her. Well, Jean Fraser, tell me about yourself. You're bilingual, I understand.
Mon père est un avocat, et ma mère est française. Je suis fille unique.
Good. Okay, we'll continue in English, shall we? Is your father successful?
Yes, he's well known in Edinburgh. He gets more work than he can handle.
Is he rich?
Well off. He doesn't discuss money with me.
Why'd you join the SOE?
They asked me, and it sounded fun.
Fun?
Yes, fun. May I ask about your background?
Very well. My father is a retired insurance agent, and he helps my mother run a boarding house at Sea Houses in Northumberland.
What did you do before the war?
I was a shop assistant.
What kind of shop?
A bookshop.
They told me that I was being considered by an agent as his WT operator. It's you, isn't it?
What makes you think that?
You wouldn't be talking to me if it wasn't for that. You wouldn't waste 5 minutes of your precious time on me. Because you only like humble people, and people who take life seriously.
I should certainly be scared of working with someone who thought fighting Germans was fun.
Well, you look at my record, mister. I've beaten most of the men on this damn training course, and that's what counts.
Why do you spend so much time in nightclubs?
Because I like nightclubs, and I like nightclub people. They're happy. They have a good time. They enjoy themselves. So put that in my P-file.
It's already in your P-file.
Oh, you can't win against you lot.
Well, you know what they say.
Time spent in reconnaissance is seldom wasted.
It's true.
I'd better go.
You don't want to be my WT operator, then?
But you just said...
I was just discussing the problems with you.
But you're prejudiced against me already.
I'm prejudiced both ways.
What's that mean?
You've got a first-class training record, so I want to take you on while I've got the chance. But on the other hand, there are a couple of snags.
What are they?
Well, first of all, you're very beautiful. You're too beautiful. You'll be noticed wherever you go, by Germans as well as Frenchmen. And secondly, I'm worried about the nightclub business. The only people in Paris nightclubs are Germans and black market barons, and that's dangerous for you, and therefore dangerous for the rest of us.
You don't like me because maybe my father's wealthy, and you don't like me because I don't take life seriously. Am I right?
Perhaps.
Okay, I'll make a bargain with you. You take me and I'll never go near a nightclub unless you order me to.
Why are you so anxious to go on this mission?
I suppose it's in the blood. I loved my time in Paris. I belonged there. It's terrible to think of the Germans there. It's like men in hobnail boots treading on roses. I want to help throw them out.
You know we'll be dropping blind. No reception committees, no safe houses, no contacts. It's more dangerous than a normal network operation.
Well, I didn't know. But if that's what we're expected to do, I'll do it. I won't be a liability.
Think about it overnight. Tell me in the morning.
Are you going to think about it?
No.
Why not?
I've already decided. If you still want to go after you've thought about it, I'll take you.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in your own sweet way, you're just as much of a snob as you think I am.
How'd you make that out?
Well, you said you worked as a shop assistant.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yes, but a bookshop's different. Much posher than just a shop. Yours is a sort of inverted snobbery.
Maybe you're right.
Well, thank you for listening. I've done some notes on my talk, and there are copies in the office for those who want them. Are there any questions?
Which are the most efficient, the Gestapo or the SD?
Well, they're both efficient, but fortunately for us, they're bitter rivals. Not only in France, but in Germany, too.
How does that help us?
Well, they don't compare notes. They don't share their records or the results of their interrogations. There's no cross-referencing, and they spend a lot of time and energy disparaging one another's information.
Which of them is best at interrogations?
They both get results. The SD men are generally more intelligent and better trained. The Gestapo are mainly low-grade. They recruit on a different basis to the SD. They're not too fussy about background, rely more on brute force than brains. But they're effective. They go for violence in interrogations, but the SD tend to get more information. That's probably the main difference between them. The SD want to know. The Gestapo want to chalk up an arrest.
What's the best attitude to adopt for interrogations?
Well, it's tougher for us than it is for a normal prisoner of war. A serviceman gives his name, rank and number, quotes the Geneva Convention, and refuses to answer any other questions. Those are his orders, and they know it. For us, we are being interrogated as suspect civilians. You've got to stick to your cover story through thick and thin. You've had plenty of experience from the mock interrogations here, though you probably feel that the instructors were pretty rough. Well, believe me, they were as gentle as lambs compared with the real thing. And what's more, you know that they're instructors. They may have yanked you out of bed in the middle of the night, they may have used some violence on you, but they're men you know. You've eaten with them in the mess. You don't need me to tell you that it all feels a lot different when it's for real. If you stick to the basic rules you've been given, that's all we ask. You stick to your cover story as long as you can. And no matter what, don't talk for 48 hours so that your network has time to disperse. Oh, and one last thing. It's not a rule and nobody demands it of you, but even when they've broken your story, you don't have to tell them more than you need to. Make them work for it. It takes more than average guts, so it's just a thought, not a rule, and certainly not an order.
You'd better read that.
What is it?
My operational orders. Read it aloud and you'll remember it better.
For Captain James Harmer, organizer of Cyclops. Operation instruction number F65, Operation Cyclops. Field name, Archevêque. Name on papers, Jacques Hubert. 1. Information. You have been briefed on the personnel and the objectives of existing network Seagull, and you have been informed of our concern that this network may be insecure. You have agreed to carry out a surveillance of this network and report your findings to London. 2. Intention. A. You will return to the field accompanied by your WT operator during the February moon. B. Your party will, for security reasons, drop blind in the area Imonville. C. You have been given details of RV and safe houses currently held by Seagull personnel. These will not be used by your team. D. You have been given the address of a safe house in Chartres to be used only in an emergency. The password there is Audubon. E. You will not make contact with any member of Seagull, nor attempt any active operation. F. Decisions regarding transmissions are entirely at the discretion of your WT operator. 3. Administration and finance. You will take with you to the field 300,000 francs, and it is expected that this will be sufficient for a period of 6 months. There's no signature.
Are you worried, Jane?
I'm something. I don't know what it is.
Try and tell me.
Well, I don't seem to belong anywhere anymore. My parents in Edinburgh seem like the other side of the world. I feel as if I've already left Bewley. We don't belong here anymore. We don't belong where we're going, either. I can't believe I'll ever belong anywhere ever again. And I'm scared.
What are you scared of?
Everything. I'm scared of the drop. I feel that just being dropped is enough. And to go on doing things after that to cause trouble seems crazy.
Everybody feels like that.
Do you?
Well, I did the first time. I just wanted to go back and have my bacon and eggs with the aircrew. They looked so much as if they belonged together. They were going back to proper beds and a routine they knew. I had no idea what I was going to face. And when I was brought back here from my network in Lyon, I felt the same. I wanted to stay where I knew the rules. I still feel an imposter in this battle dress.
What sort of place did you live in Lyon?
Oh, I was never very long in the same place. My main base was in an attic. I rather like that.
You're a funny man. You really are.
In what way?
I know so much about you. I know things about you that I suspect you don't know yourself. But really, I know nothing about you. Absolutely nothing. When exactly do we go?
I don't know the exact date, but we'll be here for Christmas and the New Year anyway. I'll fix leave for you if you want. You're entitled to 3 weeks when you finish the course.
What will you do for Christmas?
I'll stay here.
But everybody will be away.
So?
Why don't you go to your home?
Well, there's only my parents.
But there'll be parties to go to. The conquering hero on leave and all that.
They think I'm a rifleman in the infantry.
Well, they want to see you all the same.
No, it's not that kind of family. They've got their own worries.
You're their son, for God's sake.
You wouldn't understand.
But don't you want to see them?
Not really. I've got my routine, they've got theirs.
How about you come up to my folks for a few days at Christmas?
Huh? No, I'd be in the way.
Don't talk rot. You're a friend of mine, that's enough.
Well, that's very kind of you. I'd be very grateful.
Great. I'll phone my folks tomorrow. You know, when this wretched war is over, we'll have to send you on a training course to get your house trained and civilised. You're a bloody zombie, Captain Harmer, sir. I'd better get back to my billet now.
I'll walk you back.
He seems a nice laddie, your James.
I'm allowed to call him Jamie when we're off duty. What do you think of him?
I'd say he was a bit on the quiet side for you, my girl.
Reserved is the word. He is a bit on the dry side. But if you'd seen his parents, you'd understand why.
Have you met them?
Yes, we called in on the way up here. We were only there for an hour, but it seemed like an eternity.
Tell me more.
Well, there was no welcome for him. You'd have thought he was a stranger. They just sat there like statues, impatient for us to go. No kisses or hugs, nothing.
Ah, well. He looks the kind of fellow who will survive.
Who's going to survive?
We were talking about Jenny's friend, Captain Harmer.
Ah, And what was the verdict?
Jenny was saying that his parents were not very responsive, unemotional people.
You're fond of him, aren't you, Jenny?
Yes, Daddy. I suppose I am.
Tell me why.
He was a very successful leader of one of the networks in France. He's very brave, and he's quite good-looking. But he's got no background, no support, nobody who cares about him. And he's totally honest.
And you feel you can supply what's missing?
I'm not sure that I can get through that suit of armour that he wears. I'm not even sure that I'm the right one to try.
Sounds to me like pity rather than affection. Is it?
A bit of both, I suppose.
Well, that's not a bad mixture, young woman. But don't rush things or you might get yourself hurt.
Well, that's part of what loving someone's all about.
What is?
Risking getting hurt yourself.
Well, now, changing the subject. Is everything ready for our busy day tomorrow? I don't know how we will squeeze them all in, but we always seem to manage it.
Oh, I'm warm. Come with me, I've got something for you.
Huh?
Well, put it on, you goose. If you've already got a better watch, they'll change it.
Dearest my own.
It's beautiful, Jenny. It's far too good.
Of course it's not.
I've got something for you too, but it's in my room.
What is it?
I'll go and fetch it.
No, no, don't. Give it to me tomorrow. But tell me what it is.
Well, it's nothing much.
Tell me, Jamie. What is it?
Honestly, it's not very exciting.
Please tell me.
It's the Oxford Book of French Verse.
How lovely. When did you get it?
When we were shopping in Princess Street yesterday.
You're a thoughtful man, my Jamie.
Am I your Jamie?
Let's wait till this war is over, then we'll know.
I shouldn't have asked that. I apologise.
Oh, Jamie, don't be so modest, self-effacing. You're very special, Jamie Harmer, and don't you forget it.
Don't bother with any of that tonight. Mrs. McLean's coming in at 7 tomorrow with her daughter. They'll cope with all of that. Have a last whiskey, Hector.
I've already had two last whiskies, my dear. Here's the bell of the ball. Did you both enjoy yourselves, sweetie?
That's a nice thing to say, both of us. Makes us sound like a proper couple.
I saw him glaring at all the boys who kiss you under the mistletoe.
He didn't do too badly under the mistletoe himself. I told the girls to make sure he got his fair share, and they didn't need any persuading.
Oh, he grows in you, that young man. Got his values sorted out. I had a long chat with him after lunch, and I was very impressed. But I'm still surprised that he appeals to you, young lady. I can't see any Captain James Harmer spending any time in the Embassy Club or anywhere of that ilk.
Our Jenny will probably convert him. She may be your little sweetie, but she is a doughty little fighter, aren't you, my love?
When I want to be. Are we there, Jenny?
Yes. Back from the fairy story to reality. Did you have a good sleep?
Lovely, thanks. Did you really enjoy Christmas?
You know I did. I loved every minute of it.
Why was it a fairy story?
Oh, people with open minds. And generosity. Open and welcoming to a stranger just because he's a friend of one other family.
Most families are like that, Jamie.
Maybe. Oh, I've arranged for us both to do a few jumps at Ringway, just to tidy up.
I've done all my jumps and passed.
Well, the report said you had untidy landings.
Did it?
Yeah, it doesn't matter in training, but it does in the operation. Remember, we're on our own. No network resources to back us up. If you broke an ankle, we'd be in terrible trouble.
Right, just let me check your harness, miss. Right, is that comfortable?
Yes, that's fine.
Right, now you, sir. Right, now who's jumping first, sir?
The young lady.
Right, then. In position. Get comfortable. Now, don't worry about your face hitting the other side, love. It's further away than you think. It's over 6 foot. Now, when I tap your shoulder, straighten your back. When I tap you the second time, you go, understand?
Yes.
And don't forget what your mother told you.
What's that?
Always keep your legs closed.
You don't need any of that sort of talk, Sergeant.
No, sir. Right, miss. Back straight. Good. Go!
This is beautiful wine, Jamie. You must be impressed with your parachute badge.
I was pretty impressed by your parachute jumps myself.
Thanks. Why don't you have some? Just a drop.
Oh, all right then. Last time I saw
Paris, listen, they're playing our tune. Dance with me, Jamie, just this once.
I can't dance, probably, you know that. I can't dance at all.
You didn't do badly at Christmas. In fact, you danced perfectly well. Have a go. I'll guide you around. Come on.
And lovers walk beneath the trees, and birds find song to sing.
All right, let's go over it once again.
We land and bury our parachutes in the ditch. I walk to the road as soon as it's light. 2 kilometres further on, there's a bus stop at the main road. The first bus is a 5:20 local time. I go on the bus to Chartres and take a ticket to Paris, a return ticket. There is a train at 2 p.m. and you will catch that when you see me get on it. We travel separately. If there's a check, I use my documents and my cover story. We join up outside the station in Paris.
Why are you on the train?
I've had the promise of a job in Paris with a photographer. I've got a letter from his studio.
Fine. Any queries?
What if they check on the studio address?
Oh, it's a genuine studio, and the man whose name is on the letter would confirm that the letter was genuine. He's one of ours.
Is it still to be tomorrow night?
Unless there's an unexpected change in the weather. If you do have second thoughts, you can change your mind any time before we board the aircraft, and nobody would hold it against you. There are plenty of vacancies in SOE in England for wireless operators.
We're a team now, Jamie, you and me. I shan't be backing out.
Try and get a good long sleep in tonight.
I'm going to check over my radio again.
Good girl.
I had my final dental today.
Oh, what have they done?
Taken out 2 good English fillings and put in rather nasty continental fillings. Look.
Oh, you still look very beautiful.
Thanks. By the way, what happens tomorrow?
Oh, well, we fly out from Thamesford near Luton in a Dakota. And Carter and a Fanny officer for you do the clearance check.
What's that?
Check that we take nothing with us apart from what we're given. All personal stuff we have to leave behind. Check that our clothes are genuine French clothes. They give us all our documents. We shower and they clip our nails, fingers and toes. They tell us we can back out if we want to, and they wish us good luck.
It sounds grim. By the way, how do they get genuine French clothes?
The interrogation centre for French refugees buy them in exchange for clothing coupons.
They're very efficient, aren't they?
They have to be.
The little town of Cassino is being steadily and swiftly blown to pieces. We've done everything possible to dislodge the enemy, but he is determined to stand
Mr.
his
Harmer?
Ground for the
last. Yes? So
Flight Lieutenant McNay. There's a wee bit of cloud over the French coast, but that won't be any problem. The weather over the other side is much the same as here, damp but mild. Are you both ready to go?
Any time.
Come on then, let's get cracking.
Another 10 minutes, Skipper. There's no much wind now, so we can drop you pretty accurately. What's the jumping order?
Me first, then the girl.
Right. The red light will go on 3 minutes before our ETA.
Right.
Ready, sir?
Yes!
Go! Ready, miss?
Yes!
Go!
Now you know what you have to do.
Yes. I make my way to Chartres when it's light. I catch the 2 p.m. to Paris and wait outside the station for you. You'll be travelling separately on the same train.
Okay. On your way. Take care.
Did
made it, girl.
I can hardly believe it.
Why?
It was so easy.
If it isn't easy, you don't make it.
But only two checks the whole way.
No, we were lucky. The train from Chartres was crowded and the police were in a hurry. I think I'll see if we can get rooms here.
Monsieur, mademoiselle, the food to your satisfaction?
Oh, fine, thanks, patron.
Ah, bon.
Where can we rent a couple of rooms?
How long for?
6 months, maybe longer.
Just the two of you?
Yes.
Well, there's a large double room upstairs with its own kitchen, but only a shared bathroom.
Can I see it?
Well, of course. Through the door, first left. Up these stairs to the top floor.
What's the reception going to be like up here?
It'll do.
Now, how soon can you contact London?
Well, I can take a 9 o'clock schedule tonight if you want it.
Right. I just need to let them know where we are.
Who is it?
Le patron.
Come in. What is it, monsieur?
There is a man to see you.
What man?
Just a man.
No, I don't know anyone round here. It must be a mistake.
If you want my help, you will help this man.
What kind of help?
He's in danger. He wants your help. Others want your help. They are desperate.
What's that got to do with me?
I think you know, my friend. He is waiting in my own room.
I'll be down in a few minutes. Who are you, and what do you want?
Do you like seagulls?
Tell me about seagulls.
We're in trouble. Real trouble.
Tell me. What's happened?
They've got Francois, the wireless operator.
Who have?
Our friends in the Rue des Saussay, the Gestapo.
When did they pick them up?
2 days ago.
Did London know?
We've no way to tell them. There's no other operator.
Did they get the radio?
Yes.
Were they transmitting at the time?
God knows.
Have the rest of you moved out?
We've no money, and there's nowhere for us to go.
Right. Can you contact them quickly?
Well, of course.
Here's 10,000 francs. Contact all of them. They're to leave wherever they are now. Immediately. In seconds, not minutes. Tell them to meet me at the cafe in the Rue Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Hurry! Don't waste time. Did you get through to London?
Yes.
Any response?
They told me to stand by. They came through 10 minutes ago. I've decoded the reply.
Read it.
Archivec figures 1094. You will break off all contact with Seagull Network immediately.
Stop. What?
Confirm next transmission. Stop. Your orders were specific and your duties limited to observation without contact. Stop. Details of arrests noted. Stop. Message ends. Figures 1094.
They just don't understand. These people are demoralized. They'd be rounded up in days if they were left to their own devices. When's the next transmission?
Tomorrow evening at 8:07.
There's no emergency time we can use?
Well, they didn't give us an emergency schedule after our first transmission.
Why the hell don't they want me to take over?
I don't know, Jamie. Why did they send us at all?
They wanted a check on their security. They were afraid they'd been penetrated.
Plenty of networks have collapsed before. What's so special about Seagull?
What makes you think it's special?
They pulled you back from leading a successful network. Did they give you any secret orders to do something apart from the surveillance? You wouldn't tell me, even if they had, would you?
I suppose not.
Do you want us to leave here tonight?
If I did that, they'd be finished. I told Pierre I'd talk to them. I was sure London would agree. Listen, I've got to go to the cafe. I'll be back as soon as I can. Was anything planned for the next few days, Martin?
No. There was to be a planning meeting. We'd been having problems with London.
What kind of problems?
They seemed to be cool about everything that we were doing. And they refused us a drop.
What had you asked for?
Plastic detonators and pencil fuses. Nothing special. Mm-hmm. And they kept delaying decisions on our targets.
What was the wireless traffic in the previous 2 or 3 days?
Francois sent a message that if they didn't agree targets soon, we should go ahead independently. Baker Street signaled that he was possibly going to be recalled to London and to contact the air transport organizer. But meanwhile, all operations were to stop. 2 days later, Francois was picked up.
What targets had you suggested?
The locomotives at Evreux and the power station at Nanterre.
Right.
Let's go over to the others. Right, gentlemen. Unless anyone else would like to do so, I shall now take over this network.
That's fine by me.
Very well. We'll carry out the sabotage operation at Evreux when I've looked at the target. Who's done the check on the locomotive shed?
Me, Albert.
And how many locomotives are actually inside the shed?
For the next 2 nights, there will be 3, possibly 4. One under repair, one for routine servicing, and the others for change of crew and route.
How are they guarded?
The sheds don't have a separate guard. There's a patrol at night. Mm. 6 Wehrmacht men and a sergeant. Unless there are troop trains or supply trains coming through, it is all very casual. But there are 2 anti-aircraft guns in the park across the road from the station. They've got full crews, and they're on stand-to every night because of the RAF.
Are any SNCF men around at night?
The night repair crew.
It's just 2 men.
Do they have a break?
2. 15 minutes at midnight and an hour between 3 and 4.
And where do they go?
They rest in the waiting room on the platform.
Do the guards use dogs?
No. I've never seen any there.
All right. Any other information you can give us?
There will be 4 trains through tonight. None of them stopping, but they distract the guards.
Have you done locos before out there?
No, just the tracks.
But you've used plaster before?
Oh, yes, many times.
Where were you trained?
Sabotage at Hartford, and the rest at Bewley and Scotland.
Right. We'll just do the locomotive cylinders. Right side only. That's all it needs. 1 hour fuses.
Right.
When we leave, we don't go towards Paris. We go west on the Conche Road. Get bicycles for all of us. We'll fix an RV, and one of you can wait with the cycles until we come. We'll cycle back, and Albert, you can stay and come back later and tell us what you've seen.
Right.
What happens now?
I must explain to Baker Street what's going on. There's a planned operation to carry out. Perhaps that'll convince them. After that, I can get these people out of Paris to somewhere safer. They deserve that, at least.
You sure you're not holding something back from me?
Like what?
That the surveillance is just a cover for something else. Oh, Jamie, thank God.
Hello, love.
How did it go?
It went well. They're brave lads and they carried out their orders perfectly. We've put those locos out of action for at least 6 weeks.
Well, they won't be transporting any troops for a while.
Maybe London will take the point when they get our report.
Write out your signal and I'll code it and send it off. And you get some sleep. You look worn out. Jamie, wake up.
Hmm?
Martin's waiting to see you. He's downstairs.
Hmm. Did you get a reply from London?
Yes, but you won't like it, Jamie.
Read it to me.
Personal to Arshavec, stop. You will cease all contact with Siegel Network, stop.
What?
You and WT operator will proceed immediately to Perpignan Safe House and use escape line Patricia to Spain, stop. Message ends.
They're out of their minds. I don't believe it.
What are you going to do, Jamie?
Send them this. Your message not understood. Stop. Network cooperating fully and successfully. Stop. Request further operational instructions. Stop. How long before you can send it?
About an hour. 63 minutes.
I'll go down and see what Martin wants. Jane? What the hell's the matter, Jane?
Nothing. Why?
You look like you've seen a ghost.
They ordered me to stand by after I sent your message. When they came back, they said they would no longer accept any signals traffic from us. They just went off air. I sent our emergency signal 3 times, but they didn't respond.
I've got to go out again. There's something I have to do.
Be careful.
I'll be back soon.
Jane! Jane!
Who the hell are you?
My name is Klugman. Hauptmann Klugman. No, don't move.
One of my men is outside, and there are two others now at the bottom of the stairs. You're wondering, no doubt, where the girl is. She's in our safe hands, my friend. And so is your radio, and the rest of your network is being arrested right now. Walk down the stairs, nice and slowly. What's your real name, Archibek? What do they call you back at Baker Street? Why did they send you to Seagull? Why did they feed you into the mincing machine when they knew we had Seagull in our hands? Somebody in London must really dislike you. I'd better hand you over to my rough friends in the basement.
Where in hell is this?
This is hell, my friend. They call it Buchenwald.
Aus, alle raus! Mach schnell!
They call it Buchenwald.
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 Buchenwald. Buchenwald.
Yesterday morning at 2:41 a.m. at General Eisenhower's headquarters, General Jodl, the representative of the German High Command, and of Grand Admiral Dönitz, the designated head of the German state, signed the act of unconditional surrender of all German land, sea, and air forces.
A visitor for you, Captain Harmer. But I don't want him put under any kind of pressure, Mr. Carter.
No, of course not, Doctor. Just a chat. Ah, hello, James. It's good to see you. Just popped in to see if there's anything you want, anything we can do for you.
You had any news about Jane Fraser? Any of the others?
We'll talk about that when you come out. Got plenty to read?
Tell me what you've found out.
Well, it's not good news, I'm afraid. In fact, it's almost no news. There's no trace of any of the network. Most of them were captured, but what happened to them, we don't know.
Jane?
She was sent to one of the concentration camps. That's Vala. The girls who were sent there are now classified as missing, believed dead. I'm very sorry, James.
What happened? Why was it such a shambles? What went wrong?
I really don't know. Part of the pressures before D-Day. Forget it, James. All of it. We've all got to get on with our civilian lives.
Welcome to Coronation London, this city transformed by excitement and joy and loyalty, the true centre this June morning of the emotions of the whole wide Commonwealth, and of our friends and our allies as well. And here, before Buckingham Palace, Her Majesty's London home is the right place to begin our rejoicing. And to warm our hearts as we wait for Her Majesty, we've got the news of the conquest of Mount Everest, a glorious coronation gift for the Queen.
Chief Superintendent Harmer.
James, we're making up a party to go to see the King and I at Drury Lane on Saturday. We've got a spare ticket. The boys and their wives would like you to come.
Well, you know me. I'm not one for social events.
Count it as a duty, James. A morale booster. They really would appreciate it.
You'd make a good blackmailer, Joe. Okay, I'll come.
Good. I'll let you know the details. You might even enjoy it.
Taxi! Are you coming on with us to the nightclub, James?
No, thanks. I'd best be off now or I'll miss my last train.
Rightio.
It's been a very enjoyable evening, Joe. Thanks again.
Jane?
Jane Fraser?
Hello, James. What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Does it matter?
They told me you were dead.
As you see, I'm not.
I thought you were dead. What happened to you?
Where did they take you?
They sent me to a concentration camp. Natzweiler.
Look, could we go somewhere to talk? It's kind of odd standing here asking questions after all these years.
We can go to my place.
Will that be all right?
Why shouldn't it be?
I mean, are you married or anything?
Why'd you ask?
Just wondered if we'd be able to talk properly.
A good practical reason.
You didn't answer my question.
No, I'm not married or anything.
Where do you live?
In a little Mews flat in Kensington.
Have you got a job?
Yes, translate novels for publishers.
Oh. Are you sure it's all right if I come back to your place?
Oh, James, don't be so Victorian. We used to... Yes, it'll be all right. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks.
What are you doing now, James?
Guess.
I've no idea. Schoolmaster?
I'm a policeman.
Of course. How right.
Kent County Constabulary.
You must be very good at it.
Maybe.
When did you get back?
Well, I was released from Buchenwald late 45, but I was in hospital for quite a time. What about you?
I was back quite quickly. June 45.
Why the hell didn't they tell me?
I expect they had their reasons.
I heard that MI6 got busy destroying all records and traces of SOE as early as 45. I wonder what happened to the others.
Pierre is a juge d'instruction in Paris. Beaucaire plays the piano in a nightclub. Martin works here in London at Rothschild's.
Oh.
Albert is in an asylum just outside Paris. He never recovered. You didn't meet Francois and his radio girl. They both died in Fresnes prison under interrogation. But you probably know that.
I've not heard a word about any of them.
Are you married, James?
No. Have you seen any of the Seagull people since the war?
Yes, I've seen them all.
What?
Those that survived.
Lately?
We meet if we can once a year.
But how do you all get in touch with each other?
We were all debriefed in London. We kept in touch.
Who debriefed you?
Carter.
Huh. And what's Carter doing now?
He's a director of Coutard's, the merchant bankers.
Uh-huh. Does he go to the reunions?
No. He's not been invited.
Oh, why wasn't I invited?
Nobody knew you were still alive.
I'd like to meet them just once again. Who should I contact?
I shouldn't contact any of them, James. It wouldn't be wise.
Why not?
They think the network was betrayed to the Germans.
Well, I think they're probably right. What's that got to do with me?
They think it was you.
Me? And what do you think?
I keep an open mind.
Is that the best you can do?
I'm afraid so.
But you were with me all the time I was arrested too.
You disobeyed London's orders.
But you were there. You saw what it was like. I couldn't leave those people to be picked up by the Germans.
They were picked up after you took over. Can I ask you a couple of questions, James?
Maybe you won't believe the answers.
I shall. One of them I ask solely because you always did speak the truth.
Go on.
On one of the last days, when London were being difficult, I asked you if maybe the surveillance wasn't a cover for something else. You didn't answer in words, you just shook your head. Was that because you knew something the rest of us didn't know, but you didn't want to tell me a lie?
I can remember you asking that. Remember shaking my head. Maybe I had something else on my mind. I meant exactly what I indicated, that it wasn't a cover. There was nothing it could cover. So what's the other question?
On the morning of the day we were picked up, you went out. You didn't tell me where you were going, and I was arrested before you came back. Where had you been?
I went out to buy you an engagement ring. I got it from a man in the Rue Mouffetard. Second hand. Gold with a small diamond.
Oh, God. What have they done to us all? It's wonderful to see you again, Jamie. I thought about you so often.
I thought about you too. I tried not to because it upset me. I bought a gramophone record of the last time I saw Paris to remind me of when we danced that night after the parachute dropped.
I think it's best if we don't talk about those days. Maybe sometime, but not now.
I can't believe that the others think I betrayed them.
Does it really matter after all this time?
Well, it matters to me, and maybe it does to them. It must have mattered to you to feel that you'd gone through all that because the network was betrayed by me or somebody else. Why did they suspect me?
I think as people talked and compared notes, they felt that the Germans seemed to know too much.
Well, why not Francois or the WT operator? They were arrested days before.
They both died under interrogation. If they had talked, that wouldn't have happened. They would have sent them to camps. There were all sorts of unexplained bits and pieces. And you were at loggerheads with London. That seemed very odd.
But only you and I knew that.
Oh, Carter hinted at it in the debriefings. It was implied that if you had not disobeyed orders, all would have been well.
Bastard.
He didn't say so. It was just vaguely implied.
Maybe I should contact Carter, see what he knows.
Don't do that, Jamie. He won't help you.
Why not?
My impression was that he did think it was you. It was a bloody mess, and that was the only explanation. And they were glad to leave it like that, an unsolved mystery that was best forgotten.
Where did you have the reunions?
In Paris. The first time was at the cafe where you and I lived. But it upset me, and we went to Le Lapin the other times.
I've never been back. I never wanted to. I never imagined I'd want to go to Germany either.